Well, here we are after Easter. We had a good time last week, didn't we? Man, Glow, it was so cool coming in and seeing right at about 1,000 people came in the campus last weekend. It was so awesome to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. There's nothing like an Easter weekend experience here at Journey Church, and thank you to everybody that made it happen. But here we are, the week after the resurrection, post-Easter, and I could think of no greater scripture to start this talk off with than Matthew 28. So if you got your Bible, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 28. We're going to read verses 16 through 20. If you've been a part of Journey Church for any amount of time, you know we have read the scripture quite a bit, celebrated the scripture quite a bit. Or if you've been a part of church, you've heard this scripture undoubtedly a lot. If you're new to church, you're just digging in to scripture. This right here is a scenario that is after the resurrection. And this is considered one of the very first statements that Jesus makes to his disciples. And it says this, Matthew 28, if you're following us on the app, we got you there on the screen. We got scripture for you to follow us with. It says this, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him," imagine that moment, "they worshiped him, but some doubted." How many would be in the doubt category? I think I might. I mean, this is one of those I can't believe my eyes moment. These guys are looking at him, alive and well, talking to them. And this is gonna be like, "I saw you strapped to the flogging post. I saw you on the cross. I saw you die. I saw you come off the cross. I saw you put in the tomb. And now I see you talking to me." This has got to be one of those moments where it's hard to believe what you're seeing, right? And it says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the opportunity just to be here, celebrate your word, God. And I pray that you would guide me every word I speak, that it wouldn't be man's opinion, God, but that I would be an echo of what you're saying, what you want to say to us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love this scenario. Again, Jesus is making his first and final command to the disciples after the resurrection. This is an awesome moment, and I want to highlight something that Jesus said in one of his final commands to his disciples before he ascended. First, you know, before he says, he gives all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him, I don't think that's a big mind-blowing statement. I mean, he is creator. He has it all, owns it all. I mean, he created it all, of course. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. But he makes this statement. He says, go. Firstly, go. Don't stay where you're at. Go and make disciples. The word disciple essentially means duplicate. In other words, go and duplicate this work that has taken place, that has happened in your life, and go make it happen in the lives of others all around the world. His heart was for the grace and love and mercy and power that he gave the disciples, for them to go and allow the world around them to experience. He said, to the ends of the earth, cover the earth in it, go. And he says, baptize them. I mean, I love baptism. It's one of the favorite things we do here at Journey Church, which we get to do at the end of next month at Journey One. We're so excited about it. If God has done anything in your life, changed your life, if you've made a decision to start following Christ, sign up and be baptized. I'm telling you, because it is an awesome thing. Every year we usually have around that one event, 50 to 100 people baptized, immersing. That's what the word baptism means, immersing people. It's an incredible thing, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I want to focus on one of the last things he said. He says, teaching them to observe. Everybody say observe. Observe what? All that I have commanded you. You really see the passion in the heart of God. in this scripture. Because if this is one of the final things that you have the opportunity to say to somebody before you're about to go away, you put a lot of careful thought into this statement. So there's a lot of passion here. This is God's heart, what he wants to see continued in our lives. And he says, in the very last thing, he says, observe all that I have commanded you. I think it's important that you understand that you are a part this morning of a Bible-believing church. Bible. For within its pages contain everything that he has commanded for us, right? This right here is the command, the word of God for our lives. 66 books, 40 different authors, written over a period of time being 1600 years. That's a long time, but yet all proclaiming the same essential belief and theme. Each one of the writers contributing an essential part to the whole work of the Bible. And the interesting part is that they do not contradict what the other wrote. I love scripture. It's an amazing miracle that we hold in our hands when we hold the Bible, friends. I love scripture. That's what the Bible is. The word scripture means sacred writings. I love scripture, and the reason I love it is because I don't believe that our brains have been active long enough to comprehend or figure life out. Unless you're in this room and you've got life figured out, raise your hand. I didn't think so, friends. I don't got it figured out. I don't think our brains have been active long enough to figure out life. So I must turn to the author of life to comprehend that who we believe is the author of this work I hold in my hands. And a major primary key to keeping the relationship with God we have going is to follow his commands. Man, like I said, we had a great time last week with Glow. It was so cool to see this room light up with glow sticks. And I, you know, we thought about, like, what could we talk about the week after Easter? We prayed about it. God, what do you want me to say? What do you want to say to your people? And I kind of felt this message going on in my heart. I'm like, what can I call this message? So I'm calling this message the Afterglow. To ensure that the glow doesn't go. Because I don't know about you, but when I woke up on Monday morning, my glow stick wasn't glowing anymore. Ticked me off, cheap things. I'm like, what the heck, man? This thing was dying off. And I was, this thing was lighting up, you know, when we were doing it in here. And Monday morning, a glow stick was dead. It was just a stupid stick. But how many know sometimes that's people? It's just a one-time experience, and God wants there to be an afterglow after the initial glow. God wants to make sure that the glowing keeps going. And here's one incredible primary key to keep the glowing going. We must keep our eyes on his word. Why? Because Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, to my path, it says, right? Matthew 4:4, Jesus responds in the moment of temptation, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Psalm 119:18 says, open my eyes, the author says, that I may see. Other translations say the word behold, the wondrous things out of your law. Keep your eyes glued to the pages of this book, Journey Church. Let your sight continually and always be consuming these pages. Let it be the most important thing you read. Don't read anything else more than you read this word of God here. And I'm telling you, I know there may be parts you don't get. If you ever come across pages or passages that you don't understand, that doesn't mean you don't read it. Then read it and get with somebody like I do that knows more than you. you do about it and figure it out together. What I do is I ask questions, man, because how many know there's some things you read, you're like, I don't get what the world this is meaning, right? I mean, that's me. I mean, I've got a Bible college degree and all that stuff. I read the thing and I'm like, what did he say? What does that mean? And I'll call somebody that I know has a greater commitment to God's word or has been in it a little bit longer than me. And I'll say, hey, what is your opinion on what this means? Let's talk about this. Let's pray about this. I ask whatever question I need to, friends, because I want to understand it and I want to ensure that my life is going in the direction he commands for it to go. Keep your eyes on these pages. And here's why I say this, because what you see affects how you see. What you see affects how you see. It affects what your view on life is. It affects your perception of life. What you see affects how you see. I've talked with several war veterans that tell me without fail, they will never view life the same because of, watch me, what they saw when they were overseas in combat. If you grew up in a tough home, or a home with abuse or addiction or soured experiences, friends, those experiences you saw have played an effect on your outlook toward life. Maybe you grew up in a home where a tremendous amount of love and care were given and incredible experiences were at every turn. What you saw then affects how you see life today. Psychologists of all types in all fields agree for that truth to be completely true. What you see affects how you see, and here's why I'm so repetitive on this point. Because I'm trying to get us to understand the importance of connecting our eyes to this. Because Jesus spun it this way in Matthew 6 during the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 22, when he said, "The eye is the lamp of the body." This is a huge key to the afterglow. This is a huge key to keeping the glowing going. And he says this, if your eye, everybody say eye, if your eye, what does eye mean, right? Jesus is talking about what you see, what you put your sight on, and how many know what you put your sight on is where you are focusing. Where you see is where you focus. And he's saying, if your eye is healthy, what does healthy mean? Healthy means nourishing, if it's good for you, if it complements your life, if it gives you strength, if it feeds you in a good way, if you are putting your sight and your focus on things that are good for you and are nourishing to you, it says this, your whole body will be full of light. Keep the glowing going. He says, but if your eye is bad, what does that mean, right? If what you're focusing on, if what you see, if your sight goes on things that are bad, the opposite of healthy is unhealthy. If your sight is on things that are unhealthy, things that don't nourish you but hurt you, things that don't feed you but starve you, things that are poison to your life, it says if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And Jesus makes a statement. So if then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He doesn't mean how great is in an awesome capacity. He's talking more of a measurement context. As in, if all that you have in you and all that you are seeing is darkness, then all you have in you is darkness. So how much are you suffering right now? Is what he's saying. What Scripture is doing is stressing. What Jesus is doing is stressing the importance of what we see and how we see. See this regularly, Journey Church. Ensure that your eyes are on this every single day. Why? I preach the following at least once a year here at this church to ensure that we have a right understanding of what is this right here. Number one, it is my standard. It's my standard. This right here is our standard. When I say standard, I mean measurement standard. Meaning all things must measure up to this. If it's not in here, it doesn't need to be in here. If it's not in this, it doesn't need to play a role in this. This is the very vessel from which God has chosen to usher true revelation, true information of Him. This lets me know, friends, like, gives me purpose in my life, because I didn't know there was purpose in my life, because I didn't grow up in church. You know, I thought life was just me, you know, like, was the goo to you via the zoo. I thought evolution was, you know, like, I'm just here by random chance and accident and just living life. I thought that's what we were. But when I read this, I see that there is intelligence behind this design we call life. There's intelligence between this design we call us. Meaning we're not here by random chance, friends. We are here for a reason. And if we're here for a reason, that means you have purpose. That there was careful thought put to you and your life. You are not an accident. That you have a creator that has a great plan for your life. We find that in here. We find salvation in our lives and how it comes and how it stays, and we find healing available for our hurt. We even find how the end of the world happens, friends, and I've read the end. Guess what? We win. It is my standard. It is my compass. What's the purpose of a compass? The only purpose of a compass is to what? Show and give direction. To point the way. We live in a GPS society, don't we? Right? Heck, I'm using GPS now just to get to Troy, to town. I already know the way, but I just like to hear the person tell me, you know? GPS is getting so big. Now we got it on our phones, right? You can just go to Google Maps or whatever, or Siri's talking to you or whatever. We got all these ways for GPS to steer us in the direction that we need to be going. And it is so helpful, especially when you're in a place you have no idea where you're going. There is nothing more soothing than hearing, you know, the sounds of the GPS telling you what to do, you know. And now celebrities, it's getting so big, celebrities are trying to cash in on the GPS industry to where they're offering their voice to you to download and guide you wherever you want to go. So you got a celebrity talking in your car. Snoop Dogg's even cashed in on this. You can download Snoop Doggy Dog into your car, and he can tell you where to go, and it'll sound like this.
Take the second right in 200 yards. Turn right, then bear left. Yeah, just like that.
How encouraging is Snoop Dogg right there? You know, you make this left turn, bear left. Yeah, just like that. Like, thanks, Snoop Dogg. That was awesome. Just affirming you, you know, in the direction where you're going, right? I mean, how many know if you don't know where you're going, Snoop Dogg does, amen. No, not really. But that's what I love about the Word of God, friends. If you're living your life in the wrong direction, how many in this room live your life in the wrong direction at times? This preacher does, and me and 20 other people, but the rest of you are liars, amen. We all live our lives in the wrong direction at times. And it's important that we understand that there is a compass available to our lives at all times telling you, that ain't the way to go. Quit taking those steps in your life with that bitterness in your heart. Because if you have bitterness in your heart toward another individual and you keep taking steps where you're going, it will lead inevitably to destruction. You're going the wrong way. And I've got to forgive that person and move on because God says I need to forgive, and I've done that. And you hear God say, yeah, just like that. Like, it is awesome. All right, it tells you where you need to go. It's my compass, friends. It is living. And I don't mean that in a spooky way where like, he is alive, and it gets up and parties while you're sleeping. Hebrews 4:12 says this. It says, for the word of God is alive and active. Alive and active in every single day, in every single experience. This thing is alive, meaning that it's as relative today, it's as relevant today in your life as it was 2,000 years ago when it was being written. It contains within its pages the revelatory words spoken from the mouth of God to humanity, penned on its pages by the apostles and the prophets who wrote it. It's not mere words of historical content, friends. It's alive. I've been in situations where I've read Philippians 1:6, right? He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, right? I've read that, and it's meant something to me. Like, I was in a hopeless, stressful situation, and I read that, and it's like God spoke that scripture in my life. I read it, and I was like, whoa. Man, that means, and I've been 8 years down the road in a completely different situation, read the same scripture, and it speaks to me like I've never read it before. It's alive and active every single day, every single situation. It's available to you right where you're at. How amazing is that? It is living. It is incomparable. Meaning, its validity, because to make a statement like that, I've got to be valid. Its validity then is determined by its infallibility. Meaning it's error-free. Unlike other religious doctrinal documentation, like the Book of Mormon, for example. I'm not here to slam the Mormon church, but there's no truth, complete truth to the Book of Mormon, friends. And here's how I know that. Because since its conception, since the Book of Mormon was written, since it began, it has had over 4,000 changes to allow the prophecies of Joseph Smith to come to pass. And of the prophecies of Joseph Smith, and depending on the view of it, I've read the Book of Mormon and studied it in Bible college. You know, some say there's 65, some say that there's 70. 5 of them have come to pass. 5. And those are so generic, my 12-year-old could prophesy them. Like, the weather will be bad in the future. Well, that's powerful. Amen. There have been so many revisions to it. Did you know up until 1975, the Book of Mormon's claim was that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers, Lucifer being Satan, were brothers, and God told them, I want to save humanity because they're fallen in sin. Who's going to save them? They both raised their hand. I want to save them, Father. God picks Jesus. Lucifer gets ticked. Jesus goes to earth and does what he did. And Lucifer got so mad, he says, I'm going to go to earth and try and destroy the works of my brother. And he created a race, and that's where people of African descent came from. That's what, I mean, you pull a Book of Mormon that has any copyright before 1975, and you will find that as their belief and doctrine. A sickened, disgusting, racism, bigotry doctrine. But then in 1975, when it wasn't popular, they take it out. And friends, I could go on and on about that type of stuff. However, with this, just with Jesus alone, there were over 113 prophecies concerning Jesus, his coming, his ministry, the events that he would be involved in while he was here on earth. And he didn't just fulfill 5. He didn't just fulfill half. Friends, he fulfilled them all. We're talking prophecies hundreds of years before he came and thousands as early as Genesis, friends. I don't know about you, but I was the type of person that was raised to just refuse to take somebody's word for it. I was raised that the proof is in the pudding, right? Show me why Jesus is the Messiah. Show me why I should follow him. Show me why I have a heaven to look forward to. Just don't tell me I do. Show me how I do and why I do. Show me why I'm fallen humanity and in need of redemption, and you find it in this like no other. It's incomparable. It is unbeatable. They tried to ban it in the 1400s. They tried to burn it in the 1500s. They tried to bury them in the 1600s. But somehow, it just kept popping up in homes. Somehow, manuscripts, untouched, just kept arriving on the scene, friends, into people's hands. And you could not quench it. You could not get rid of it. Somehow, there was this protective force that kept the Word of God going through the persecution of history. And I have to believe it's because God will do whatever it takes to protect his love letter to humanity. It's unbeatable. They've stacked the smartest scientists, psychologists, and critics against it. And they themselves have gone into long and strenuous terms of study to attempt to disprove its accounts. And the results being most of them coming back with a white flag waving, "I surrender." Men like Lee Strobel, who's a pastor on staff of a struggling little church outside Chicago called Willow Creek. Pray for him. They only got about 30,000 people. He himself, before he came on staff, was an atheist, a renowned critic with great knowledge, and he went to begin to write a work to disprove the Bible once and for all, and he went into years to do this and came out years later with a white flag saying, "It's not only true, but I believe it. And now I follow the God that it writes about." And he's on staff at a church today in Willow Creek, and he's authored books you may have heard of, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, national bestsellers. Its historical accounts hold true. Its prophecies cannot be disproven. And I can't seem to find one single contradiction. So there must be one of two explanations, critics will tell you. It is, number one, a coincidence like no other, to which the probabilities of something like that being coincidence and it true would be a chance of 1 in 978 trillion plus 780 trillion. I don't know about you, but that's a lot. Or it must be the Word of God. Lastly, it is my corrective lens. It's my corrective lens. You see, I don't see well. If I take these glasses off, I can't see you. I see a blur. Matter of fact, anything from outside the edge of this podium is a complete blur. Like, I can't see faces. I really got to take careful step. Like, if I were to try and just look at my son, I can't even see the face of my son. I see a blur. And I'll tell you exactly when I begin to see his face. I can't see his facial features right now. Now I see his face. Now, face is completely blurry. I have what you would call 20/140. That's what my optometrist, is that what they call him? I can't see you. What? Is that what they call him? Yeah. Like he says you have 20/140 vision, meaning what most people can see at a distance of 140 feet, you have to be 20 feet away to see it. That's bad vision. And, you know, I wasn't born with bad vision. I had pretty good vision until my junior year. And I remember my junior year, I was in class, and I you know, remember when the teachers would, like, write on the overhead projector that would shine on the wall? They still do that? Oh, they have this cool stuff now. But anyway, that's what they do. You know, just writing on. And I remember I was in the back of the class, and I could not see what he was writing. Like, my vision just started going really bad. I was like, I can't see what he's writing. And so I asked to move to the front of the class, and I'm in the front of the class, and I still couldn't see it because it was so bad. And I just, he had to give me the transparencies that he wrote on so that I could write them down. And I remember just being so frustrated with not being able to see. Everything at a distance was fuzzy. I couldn't see things with acuity. And then I got glasses. And I remember when I put those lenses on. I mean, it was blurry, fuzzy life. And I put them on. It was like, oh, like, I can see. Oh, the world is beautiful, you know. And I'm just skipping around like, you know, like, woohoo, just going to town, you know. Just like, yeah, just love seeing. Seeing is cool. Amen. If you can see, be thankful. Amen. It's an awesome thing. Be thankful for your vision. But I was unable to see things with acuity. Distant things looked blurry. And the moment I was able to see things through a corrective lens, I had clarity. This helps our view in our moment of struggle. This helps our view when we don't see down the road what the consequences in the moment will do. You see, often we don't see the consequences of what we'll do in the moment, do we? Especially if, like, we want to be bitter at somebody. Do we see the consequences of what that'll play into our life down the road? Most of us don't. We're 2140. We can't see that far. But when you put on the lens, it helps you see down the road, and it says, no, that's not the way to go. It's not the way to do it. Or if you're going through a storm in life that you had nothing to do with, friends, what this does is give you hope. How many have ever prayed for somebody and you get sick of praying for them because when you look at them, they're not changing, right? It gets very frustrating to exercise patience towards the change and transformation in another person's life. And there's been times where I view them like this. Ugh, I don't see how they're going to make it, right? I'm tired. I've been praying for years on this person. But when I go to his word and I read his word, it gives me clarity. I see them down the road. Just keep going. They're going to be changed. They will be saved. They will be free. They will be healed. They will. Even maybe in your own life, this gives you clarity to see the distance. How many are thankful for the word of God? Amen. So dedicate yourself to it. Dedicate yourself to it. I want to ask Mary if she would to come as we close. Dedicate yourself to it, Journey Church. Read the Bible every day. You know, you could read the entire Bible in 1 year if you dedicated yourself to reading 3 chapters a day. 3 chapters a day, and you can read the entire Bible in 1 year. How many would? I mean, I've not been able to look at the results of our poll yet today. I know, but as of earlier this morning, there was a significant portion of the church that hadn't had the opportunity to read the entire Bible. I know many people are just getting started and digging in on God's word, and that's awesome. How many would love to be 365 days from now saying, I've read the entire Bible. I've read all of God's love letter to my life. And the benefits that would come to your life through that 365 days, how many would love to experience that? Journey Church, commit to it. Matter of fact, if you have the app, you can go on the app and click on the Bible part of our app, and it gives you a reading plan where you can read the entire Bible in a year. It'll tell you what to read, when to read it, on what day. It's an amazing thing. We've got people doing the 90-day Bible challenge, which means all you got to do is commit to 1 hour of reading the Bible a day, and in 90 days you'll have read the entire plan of Scripture for your life. But here's what it does for your life, is what it did to my life. It will light up your life. It'll keep the glow going because you're putting your eye on what is healthy, and it'll help you see in your tomorrow. Amen. I want to ask Morio and Jamie Ray if they would to come. How many know we got a great tomorrow in front of us? Amen. Just got to see it. And this family right here has had an instrumental role here in this church, but for those of you that have known this family before Journey Church, let alone before Jesus, I call them Mario BC. Can you put that slide up of Mario BC? This was Mario years ago. For those of you that know, this is a newspaper clipping he gave us. Says that sheriff's department seeks man. He was a wanted man. Criminal activity and drugs and crime, and just had a very negative surrounding around his life and played well inside of that negative surrounding. What it did is he got found out. He was on the run and was in Alabama, but authorities caught up, and he ended up going to prison. And he was in prison, and while he was in a prison cell, how many of you know sometimes God just needs to get you somewhere where he can get you alone to start to speak to you? And while he was in a prison cell, through a variety of circumstances, he found himself reading the Word of God. Found himself reading the Bible, and his eyes come across Genesis, where God is having a conversation with Abraham. And Abraham's being told that he's going to do great things and do incredible things. And Abraham's kind of doubting it, you know, because he's old and doesn't know how to do this. And God says, I will make your name great, he read. Muriel's reading this in a prison cell, and God speaks to him in his heart and says, that's you. I'm going to make your name great. And for those of you that know, the Rays was not a name, right, that was traditionally celebrated in a great, glorious legacy context. But for those of you that don't know that past, like I did, we don't see him like that. Like, to me, the Rays are like, I get this incredible sense of family, this amazing home, dedicated parents, influencers, people that influence and impact my life, people that influence and impact your life. I mean, no, you have to believe what you see and put your life in the direction God commands for it to go. And God showed him, I didn't create you for where you're at. I created you for where you're going. And when he got out, he was told, you better lock into a church. And he found himself at Journey Church because Daryl Strawberry came and spoke. And he came here. Crystal, that was your first Sunday too, wasn't it? And, you know, he found himself here during that time. And he's committed to this church ever since. He's been serving in virtually every area. And his family, man, has just been so such a blessing. But they'll tell you, their family's been so blessed by what God has done through this church to their lives. And it's so awesome to see how God can take this man right here. That's not a volunteer badge for corrections. That's actually his identity badge for the Missouri Department of Corrections. And, you know, God can take somebody like that. And I'm proud to announce to you today that starting in June, at a part-time salary, Morio comes on staff as our outreach pastor here at Journey Church. How many think it's awesome that God can take this once he looks at this and now he becomes a pastor in a church, friends? I love what God's word can do. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. This man stood before a judge, and now he's standing before a church that's giving him a standing ovation. How many know God is great? And if he can take this man's life in a direction, he can take anybody's life in a direction. No offense, brother. Amen. Amen. And, you know, this is an incredible thing because, you know, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. And God's put a role in his life for outreach and a mantle on his life for outreach and impact. And I'm an under-shepherd. In other words, I'm like the associate pastor of Journey Church. Jesus is the senior pastor of Journey Church. Because you don't want me leading this thing how I want to lead it. Right? Like, you don't want impatient Jesse. You want patient Jesus. And I'm the under-shepherd. And so, you know, God just says, like, watch the people. Watch the leadership. Make sure that their focus is where it should be and they can't, you know, that they'll be able to handle what I want them to handle. So I started watching the Rays, and, you know, the outreach department of Journey Church is a big department. A lot of stuff. You know, we got the Dream Center getting ready to come up. You know, we got to start building the building blocks to getting that going. And Adopt a Block, which we're getting ready to present to you here in a few weeks. That's a monumental ministry. Our nursing home ministries and prison ministry, like all this stuff. And I began to think, like, there is, in prayer, like, there's no way they're home, because Jamie has been our children's pastor full time for the last 3+ years, has been our children's pastor. And I just begin to think, in prayer, like, there's no way that their home can carry both of those visions. It would be impossible for the outreach department of our church and the Dream and all that stuff to be on his shoulders, and then our children's ministry and its vision and its demands to be on her shoulders. Like, their house will it's just too much. And God started to guide me and pray, and we started to have conversation with Jamie, and Jamie started to pray, and Jamie let us know, you know, we had a conversation in November of last year that God was calling her to step away and out from being our children's pastor so that God was calling her to stand by her man, so that she could stand and support the mantle and vision that God was putting on their home for outreach. And I am one thankful pastor for this team that was going, that is going to be used to create incredible outreach impact in this community. Amen. And you'll hear more about our plans for children's ministry in the weeks and months to come. We're not worried at all about what God, you know, he's going to provide everything, every person, as he always has. My wife and I have just now been getting involved with our children's ministry as she's transitioning over to outreach. And so she walks off staff at the end of next month to stand by her man and watch this outreach mantle go out in this community. But man, it's been awesome. Missy and I just working with the incredible children's leadership that we already have. Great plans and great things are coming at Journey Kids. We're so excited about. But I just wanted to come on here publicly, let you know this incredible transition that's happening in our church. And at the open house today, they're going to be the ones in the Dream Center presenting the vision of the Dream Center. You'll get to see. And so, man, I can't wait. And I just want to let you know how proud I am of you guys and the future. You can't see it right now. He's doing it again. But under the shadow of the bill of his hat, tears are just rolling down his eyes. He's so honored to be here in this moment and know God will use him. I will make your name great, and he sure has. I mean, love the Ray family. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen. Let's stand to our feet here this morning, Journey Church. I want to ask our communion teams if they would to come, and as they're coming, I just, you know the drill, right? We're going to do communion here. I want to just pray a word of prayer, and we'll dismiss from the back to the front, and if you're new here, just go with the flow. Amen. They'll tell you what to do. But head back to your seat and just take a moment to remember before you're dismissed. But I just want to pray for you. So if everybody could just close your eyes. I just want to pray for you right now. God, I thank you.